Fred Film Radio, Turin Film Festival, Italy.
Angela Cerbi, Fred Film Radio from the Torino Film Festival, here with Joanna G. Thomas and Khalil Giorgi. Good morning.
Hello.
You are here because there is an homage, a tribute to your work, a complete tribute that Massimo Calzo prepared. And it's nice that for once to have a tribute of some actual living person, which is, no, it's true, because and it's really interesting to have a tribute to you, because you are not just filmmakers, you are like artists in a much more ample sense. But we are a film radio, we are in a film festival, so we talk about films, and I want to ask you first, which is your approach to cinema? So which is your aim and your thought when you create a movie?
Oh,
nice. Difficult question.
No, it's true that first I have to say that it's really nice to be able to show all the films that we made, because people can see what is our aim in a way when we are showing all those films, and to have this focus, I will call it.
Yeah.
It's better maybe because I feel I'm still young and still and still starting.
You're still on the rise.
Yes. So, but it's true that when you make a film for Khalil and me, when we started making films, it was in the 90s in Lebanon, and it was this idea that we didn't really study films or art. We came to do our experimentation in a country where we felt that we could use films and cinema to be able to share our question, not only for our society, but to the world. And those questions and those experimentation are political, poetic in a way, and also artistic, because for us, cinema is a total art.
Yeah.
You see? It's not only about saying a story, even if we have to say a story sometimes or not, it depends. Mm-hmm. But the story can be said in a very different, very different ways. And it's not on being narrative or not non-narrative, it's being like, how do you transfer emotions that you can believe when you're transferring them, and where your audience could believe. But because most importantly, cinema is about emotions.
Yeah. In a very divided society like ours, because we start after civil wars, meaning we were in a very divided society, and we still on. Cinema and art are the places of the sharing, of the common. It is the places where we gonna be together and start to producing meanings, emotions, places where we could hope that we can build something together. Even if it's for a moment, even if it's a bracket in the middle of this mess, but at least we are managing to build, like Deleuze would say, reason to believe in these words. So for us, it came out of a necessity. It's not just that we want to be part of this world of art or cinema. It's not. We believe that those words are the words where we want to be recognized.
I understand. And is there anything that makes you choose which kind of art form to use when you want to tell something? So why maybe an installation is better than a movie sometimes, and maybe a photograph is better than a movie or better than an installation. So what drives you towards one or the other kind of art form?
It's never really strategic, you know. We say that we are a researcher because we research, but not in a scientific way. It's more that we encounter a story, we encounter an idea, we encounter a person, and suddenly we are taken by what we see, because we are very available. You know, and we make ourselves very available to be, and we love the others. So we love this contact, and we love to hear them, or to dig into stories. So usually, there's always a part that is digging into a story, or into an event, or having a lot of encounter with a person, and following things that we are seduced in an etymologic sense of, you know, following something.
Yeah.
And it can take many forms, and sometimes because it is very rich, we take time to make like an installation or a performance or write a film. And sometimes we do all this because we feel that it's very important to have connections between both artwork and film work.
Yeah, I understand. There is a very important theme that is good. Goes throughout all your art, which is the memory. So you are very interested in the management of the memory, how memory of history, which is not just big history, but also personal history, can be important for a human being, and how to being able to conserve, to save all this. Why is this so important for you?
It's because probably because we came from a place where history has not been written because of the civil conflict and a lot of where we have difficulty of the writing of our contemporary history. But there, nevertheless, there is a lot of memories. So how do you do with those memories to be able to write a history, even to write a narration? If you want to tell a story, from which point of view, from where you're going to do it, what is the name of the character you're going to do? Each one of this has connotations, has implication in and consequences, being political, moral, historical. So you have to deal with all that, because at the core of our research, there is this interrogation about storytelling and transmission. What are we going to tell to our kids, to our fellows?
This is the theme of your last movie, because Memory Boss is exactly about this. Three generations that try to deal with the past in different ways, and because the transmission from one generation to the other is always different, because we try to stay with try to keep people safe. You know, there are many reasons, but it's why do you think that there is this kind of difficulty from one generation to tell the other, the new generation, the story of the past? Why we always try to save, to keep them safer?
It is not always difficult to transmit. It is sometimes even difficult to remember by yourself. Like if we took Memory Box, it is based on Joanna's notebook. She used to write for her best friend from when she was 13 till 18 years. Every day, I'm talking about writing 50 and 16 pages, okay? But she told her story. And when she rediscovered those notebooks 30 years after, it was very different from what she was remembering. It was not always a traumatic event. No, it was just because it's a work of time. In time and by time, things are changing, are being reformulated differently. And this is by itself something important to show us how meanings are evolving all the time, how memory is something that is quite fluid.
Maybe also it is important because it's a link. It's not that we always have to talk about the past, but when you are comfortable with a story of your family or story of the past, you are also comfortable with your present. And it's all about present. It's not about the past. It's about how do you live your present today and how you are able to live it. And it's very clear in Memory Box, we feel that Alex, the teenager, she sees her mother and she feels that there's a part of her that is missing. And and we see it from the start. While she is reading her notebooks, she has like a strange feeling of not recognizing her mother anymore. Yeah. And I think a lot of us, not only in Lebanon, in all the world, we have this impression that there's like secret or things that we don't have access to.
We would love to. Actually, she says, you never share anything with me.
Exactly. So and we're so many people, you know, when we are showing this film, the audience react, and a lot of mother or daughters or even, you know, it's and son. And it's not about women only, of course. They come to us and say, like, I'm going to call my mother now. I'm going to see my father, you know. There's this relation that is strong, and it's so difficult to be able to share, and we always have this fear that we have to share before it's too late.
Probably in this, I'm sorry, in your film, there's also the fact that the past that is not being told is a past that was very difficult. It was very traumatic. So it was not like remembering what your family did like 55 years ago, because in that specific situation, the past was a really hard past. So maybe you don't want to remember.
Yes, but it's not always the case. For example, when we did the Lebanese Rocket Society, which was a tribute to dreamers, it was how a group of students managed to produce and conceive a space program for a space race in the 60s. So this is a positive project, and nevertheless, it disappeared from the collective memory. Why? It's because we are living with a lot of rupture. We all lived a rupture with COVID, for example. We lived rupture for sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's collective. All our aim is to try to think about the possibility of continuity after a rupture, when suddenly you are in front of a river and the bridge collapses. What do you do? How you can re-invoke the other bridge, another bridge, to be able to build these connections.
I think maybe it's also about, imaginaries and representation. Like, how do we represent ourselves as person, as subject? And if you are capable to understand from where you come, I think it's more easy. It's easier than to continue. You know.
Yeah, maybe sometimes you don't want to remember where you come from.
Sometimes, and you can reinvent. The film Izmirna that we are showing here, we see very well how my grandfather reinvent part of his life, and that we get as a heritage sometimes stories that are not totally real. But it's not a problem, you know. It's not about having something real or facts that are really about the truth. It's the fact that having a story, that if you are given a story, even if it's of an imaginary place or imaginary, roots or anything, you can try to represent yourself in a different way.
And it's also about how you will always try to escape definition, because this is part of our work. But nevertheless, you are structured by it, but not defined by it. So we don't have to see this as just something with a lot of weight and sorrow. It is also something joyful. We are inventing our way of being. We want to create. This is exactly what we do in our work. And go back to the first question. We are free to do a video and a documentary and things, because we are inventing the mode of production for each project. And there's something joyful about this.
It's a resistance, in a way.
Yeah, it's a resilient and resistant thing. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot to Joanna Ajitoma and Khalil Jurej for having been with us. We're here for this tribute at the Torino Film Festival. I'm Angela Cherby for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.